Today on Real Radio.
And then your own selfish thinking began to creep in and you began to say, there is no God. You know why you said there's no God? Because it's more comfortable for you to believe that there's no God. But every day you wake up, you're fearful because the thought enters your mind, what if there is a God?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Jesus said that the world would be able to identify his followers by one obvious attribute. You know what that is? Our love for one another. And the Apostle John, of all people, had a profound grasp of this concept, as we see in his writings, including what we're going to look at today. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in his look at the opening paragraphs of 1 John chapter 5. It's a lesson called Love, Honor, and Obey.
We need to realize this. Listen, this is a true story. Abraham Lincoln, who's my hero, we're going to see him in heaven, by the way, he's a wonderfully born-again man. Abraham Lincoln, he had a soldier that caught his eye and was a faithful man, and Abraham Lincoln wrote him a note, but the man couldn't read. Abraham Lincoln, of course, was horribly assassinated, but that man who was wounded in the Civil War was a very poor man, and he used to beg for food and beg for a roof over his head every night. And he would always boast about Abraham Lincoln, always talking about Abraham Lincoln. And I knew Abraham Lincoln. And one day somebody came up, the man was in Chicago at the time, and he was just begging. And somebody came up to him and he said, listen, I really doubt seriously that you ever knew Abraham Lincoln. You talk about him all the time, but look at you. You're a disgrace. And the man says, listen, I did know Abraham Lincoln. The guy said, well, I don't believe you. Can you prove it? And he says, I can prove it. He says, I'll prove it to you right now. And the man pulled out his wallet, and he opened up a note, and all he could read was Abraham Lincoln's signature. He couldn't read the note. And he says, I know that this is Abraham Lincoln's signature, because I was alongside Lincoln many times, and I watched him sign things. Plus, I watched him write me this note. And the man read the note, and he said, sir, do you know what this note says? And he says, no, I can't read. And he said, well, how old are you? And the guy was like some 60 years old now. He said, 60? You've been a veteran for some 40 years. Yes. You've been begging for 40 years? Yeah, I'm handicapped from my Civil War. I can't hold down a job. I can't do anything. For 40 years? Well, yes. He says, sir, this note is written from Abraham Lincoln. He goes, well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You asked me to prove it. I'm trying to prove it to you. He says, sir, by now you are a millionaire. He has allocated to you a pension every week for the last 40-something years. And come to find out that man was a millionaire. He didn't even know it. There are Christians who don't even know what God has wrought for them by the power of the cross. They live this Christian life like a pauper, begging. Oh, God, please, if you would, maybe, I would like to grow and know you more. When God is saying, man, I wrote you a book. I wrote you my Bible. I've given you my spirit. I'm waiting for you to ask. But a lot of Christians live like paupers when our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and beyond. He owns the hills. He owns everything. The believer's love, verses 1 through 3. The believer's faith, verses 4 and 5. And finally, the believer's witness, verses 6 through 12. And we see in the believer's witness, verses 6 through 12, here in verse 6, the Trinity noted in heaven. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are two general beliefs on this portion of scripture, verse 6. Two general beliefs. I'm going to give them to you. You might want to jot them down. And then I'm going to give you a third opinion, which is mine, and it's probably not worth anything. But the two general or traditional beliefs is this. This is he who came by water and blood. Theologians bicker about this today. We don't know the answer to this. That's why there's so much speculation, and that's why there's two general opinions. Number one, of the views is this, that the water is in reference to Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River. Some of your Bible footnotes might even say that. If I were a Bible editor, I wouldn't even put it in the footnotes because nobody knows if that's right or not. When it says, and water, those who hold to the water baptism and the blood, water and blood, that they believe that it's the water baptism of the Jordan and the blood of the cross. Okay, that's a very popular opinion. Many denominations hold to that view, and that's fine. The second view is this, being that water flowed from his side when the spear went in, remember? And blood and water came out. But the Bible says blood and water came out. Not water and blood, but blood and water. But what does that prove anyway? It doesn't prove anything. Those are the two predominant traditional views. Then there's the probably the wrong view that I hold to, but I like it. And for me, it's just as, and I think even more biblically accurate than those other two that I just gave. But again, you be the judge. Number three is this. Being born into this world through water, you know, that's how you came. It was a big deal for God to become a human being, you know. That's the, for me, that's the biggest miracle of all, that God, who does not dwell in flesh, became flesh for us. But listen, being born into this world through water and the blood, meaning his earthly life, his earthly blood being sacrificed for us on the cross. I agree with the cross part. But I believe that this is a reference to his earthly coming into the world. Jesus' conception was of divine means. We know this from the Christmas story. We talked about that on Sunday. But Jesus' birth was also of a human nature. That's why the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. He had to be the God-man to be the Messiah. Jesus is 100% man and 100% God, of course, man without a sinful nature. This is basic, fundamental, and essential Christian belief. But in arguing this, the third view that is, in Isaiah 7:14, you know it well. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive. That's Mary. And bear a son. And you shall call his name Emmanuel. That's an important thing. Without Jesus being born in the world, there's no salvation. Second verse, Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Luke 2:11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. John 18:37. Pilate therefore said to Jesus, are you a king then? Jesus answered and said, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause was I born, and for this cause have I come into the world. Mark 1:38, last verse, Mark 1:38. But Jesus said to them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose have I come. I believe the water refers to Jesus' birth. But I got some fun stuff for you to consider to back this up. How long was Jesus inside his mother's womb? 9 months, okay? Do you know what that fluid is called? Amniotic fluid. Do you know where the word amniotic comes from? Or the that Greek-Latin word. It's originated in the Greek, and it gets very exciting. Amnos is its root word. When you type in amnos, if you have a computer or you do a Greek study, amnos, you know what you come up with when you hit return on your Bible? You come up with Strong's Concordance number, I believe it's number 286. I don't have it in front of me. I believe it's number 286. Do you know what the definition is? Lamb. And then it gives the definition, a lamb that is ordained and slated and scheduled for sacrifice. Amniotic fluid, baby fluid, lamb. When I saw this yesterday preparing for this, I got goosebumps over my body. Because Mary had a little lamb. And he was slated. He was scheduled for what? For sacrifice. And the fluid that he lived in even speaks about lamb fluid. It's lamb fluid. That was so exciting. I didn't see that in any book. It's just one of those things that happened. And it was like, God, thank you. And I study in a little closet. I have a little closet. It was like that closet became like a mall. It was like, yes! Awesome! Did anybody get that? Did you get it? Or did I? It could have been one of those private moments that you, just for me. But I believe personally when it says that there is this water, I believe it speaks about the earthly birth of Jesus Christ into the world. And then how did he exit the world? Not without first giving his blood as a ransom for our sins. Now it helps me understand when Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nick, you've got to be born again. You came through the water once. Remember, if you read John 3, he's going to talk about water, isn't he? He says, that which is born of this earth is earthly. It's of this earth. It's watery. But you have to be born from above, which is heavenly. It's spirit. Verse 7. We need to touch on verse 7. It says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. I can tell you right now that this verse is not found, or at least it hasn't been found in manuscripts that are available further back than the 12th century. In other words, from the 12th century on, this verse 7 appears this way. That's why some of your Bibles don't even have this verse in it. But here's the cool thing. The King James translators in 1611, when they came across the Greek translation to put it into English, it's here. So what did they do? What they did was they kept it in your Bible. Why? Here's the cool thing. In some of your footnotes, it says this verse is not found in most manuscripts. And that's okay. Because this is not an attack on the scripture. This is textual criticism, which is totally fine to do. This verse does not do any damage whatsoever to biblical doctrine. That's the point. That's why the King James translators left it in. You see right here where it says that there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity, isn't it? Is the Trinity a biblical doctrine? Yes. Why didn't the King James translators just leave this part out? Because if you read verses 6, 7, and on, it does perfect justice to the doctrine. So they left it in. Are you with me? It does no damage to the doctrine. What it does do, it helps explain it. Very simple. But I wanted to touch on that because there are variations, maybe right on your own lap, about this own verse. Don't be concerned or confused about it because verse 6 and verse 8 support the very same doctrine. It's not some bogus, goofy thing. And again, it doesn't mean that this scripture was not in ancient manuscripts. It just means that none have been found prior to the 12th century. So I wanted to tell you that because you guys are good Bible students and you're going to come up and ask me later. So there. And remember, John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 12. There it declares clearly that Jesus is God. John 1, verses 1 and verse 12. Interesting thing about the Trinity while we're here. We'll touch on it real quick and then be moving on. Philippians 4:20 says, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Of course, God the Father. Titus 2:13 says, that we're to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's the second person of the Trinity right there. Number three, Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 says, Peter speaking to Ananias, he says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but you've lied to God. The Holy Spirit is God also, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then, to bring it all together, Matthew 28:19 Jesus says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name. The word is authority. And listen, it's the singular, not names, but name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The triune God. In verses 9 and 10, we see the witness of heaven. If we receive the witness of men, John says, the witness of God is greater. That means men are liars and God's the only one who tells the truth. That's a fact. The Bible says all men are liars. And that means you too, ladies. The Bible says that all men and women are liars. But God is true. God's the greater witness. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, that has made God a liar, because he has not believed the testimony, the sworn declaration that God has given regarding his Son. That's powerful stuff. By the way, in Deuteronomy 19:15, God says that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, the thing shall be established. The matter shall be determined. Two or three witnesses. So what does God do? Father, Son, Holy Spirit covers all the bases. There, it's all done. I love it. The second thing we see here, or I should say the third thing that we see here, is the testimony of God, verses 11 and 12, the testimony of God. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, past tense. He already gave it to those who believe. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Wow. You think that kind of language is sort of a riot today? John says that if you don't have God in your life, you don't have life. If you don't have the God of life, you don't have life. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have life. If you don't have the life giver, you don't have life. You say, well, what are you, nuts? I'm alive, I'm breathing, I'm listening to you yap. God says you're dead. Isn't it interesting that we're reading this verse right now, and what did we just study on Sunday? If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Wow. You know what? We can put our cars away. We can put our wallets away. We can put our dreams away. We can put our pursuits away. We can put away everything until we first determine. And if you are a Darwinian evolutionist right now, here right now, you better wake up and figure out and hope and pray to who you're. I don't know who you're going to pray to. That verse 12 is not real. If verse 12 is real, you're in deep trouble. Man, can you imagine if Charles Darwin came back tonight? If God ripped open the ceiling and he stuck Darwin's face through the... Actually, if God ripped open the floor and brought Darwin up from hell. Do you know what Darwin would say? I tell you, it's hard to do non-believers' funerals. You can't sit there and play a game. You know, you can't work for God and play a game at the same time. You can't do some little song and dance and make everybody feel good while this guy was a womanizer, a drunken bum, a child beater, all the things that he was. And, you know, people are trying to say something nice about the guy. The fact, you know, unless something radically happened in his last breath, the guy's toast. And you can't, you know, you go, somebody said, will you do the funeral? And if I cannot do a funeral, I'm disappointed because I love to do funerals. Nobody moves when you preach the gospel at a funeral. Nobody moves. You know why? They're all thinking about death, every one of them. But I tell you, when you're doing a non-believer's funeral, this is what you say. Well, if Fred could speak now, we know what Fred would say. Fred would say with all of his heart, love Jesus with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Is that not true? Hey, if you're in heaven or if you're in hell, what do they have in total agreement with? Love Jesus with all your heart. It's just that the people up in heaven are, it's much more cooler where they are about that. And the people down in hell, they're burning up and they're saying, Isn't that what the Bible taught us? Isn't that what Jesus said, that the man in hell said, please send somebody from this place up to my brothers who are still alive on the earth and tell them about the way so that they don't come to this place. And Jesus said, I tell you, even if somebody rose from the dead, they still won't believe. Wow. You better hope verse 12 is wrong, evolutionist, because if you come to the end of your life and you're wrong, you will have eternity to curse yourself so much that the Bible says you will gnash on your teeth and you'll break the teeth off. You will grind your teeth until they break. The scripture says that hell is a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why do you think people are weeping? They're weeping because I believe they're saying, how could I have been so stupid to miss such a great love, to miss such an opportunity to be forgiven, to reject all of those times when the people knocked on my door or visited me, you know, in the hospital or came up to my towel at the beach and said, you know Jesus? I can't believe I blew them off. Those Jesus freaks, I wish I could have one now with me to make a change in my life. There's no change. It'd be over. It's too late. Well, I don't think that's fair of God. He should give us another chance. How old are you? 45. For 45 years, he's been calling out to you. All your life, he's been reaching out. That time when you took that first drug or tipped your head back with that first beer or bourbon, whatever it was, doesn't matter. You went alone with that girl for the first time or that guy for the first time. Did you not hear God, according to what Jesus said, the Spirit of God will convict the world? Didn't you hear him say, don't do this? You heard him. I know you heard him. Because Jesus is true. He says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. And when you were messing around, he said, stop this. Don't do this. Even though you didn't even believe in God, you heard him say it. But you hardened your heart and you kept going. Then the next time you didn't hear him quite so clearly. Then the third time you didn't hear him quite so clearly until you didn't hear him anymore. And then your own selfish thinking began to creep in and you began to say, there is no God. You know why you said there's no God? Because it's more comfortable for you to believe that there's no God. But every day you wake up, you're fearful because the thought enters your mind, what if there is a God? I've been to the London Museum of Natural History. And there is a bigger-than-life statue of Charles Darwin. You know, they've got to be bigger than life. You should see the look on his face. I looked right at him. And you know, he had to pose for that thing. He's the most miserable-looking human you've ever seen. He looks morbid.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson taken from the opening paragraphs of 1 John chapter 5, where the Apostle John really focuses on what he calls perfect love. The title of this lesson, Love, Honor, and Obey. Love, Honor, and Obey, a mini-series that's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now we're getting pretty close to the end of this New Testament letter of 1 John, and soon we'll be taking a look at 2 and 3 John. Now, people are getting in touch with us and saying, hey, I got to get a hold of this 1 John series. So we've decided to make it available on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Now, again, here's our offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's series in 1 John all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, just mention this 1 John series. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and submit your gift right there online, realradioactive.org. Or give us a call if you'd like. The number is 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.